Welcome, Etienne Wenger.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. You've argued that learning is closely linked to identity. What is identity? Is it something I possess? Is it a characteristic of me as a person?
No. In the theory, we think of identity as the work of being a person across time and space. So for us, identity is a constant process of constructing who you are in relationship to the social context. Okay, so there are characteristics. For instance, you know, in many contexts, you would be viewed as a man.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a characteristic that's thrown in. You have to digest that and sort of live that. Maybe you refuse that, maybe you accept that, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that characteristic then becomes a piece of, a constitutive element of what we would call the work of identity.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what more is it to my identity if it took upon my, if there is a something about my identity, what more is it to identity?
What you mean? The fact that you have a label like a man or a Norwegian or
whatever.
A professor at a university. Is it right? Like all these roles,
yeah.
You know, or these labels
yeah.
are part of the social landscape where you have to decide what they mean to
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So a lot of our learning is to take in those labels and then make something meaningful out of them, and that may be very different in different contexts.
So it's a way of acting upon different
well,
contexts.
The term identity means to make one,
okay.
Right? So, for instance, you have all these memories of your childhood and these memories of what you've done and so on and so forth. How do these memories contribute to making you as a person?
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? That's kind of work that you do. That's why for us, identity and learning are so closely related. Because learning, for instance, acquiring new skills, is also reconstituting who you are by allowing you to participate in the world in different ways. And how much these things mean to you means you are very accountable. You know, for instance, you are a professor of the learning profession. That identity shapes what you pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. So in what degree is identity something that develops as an outcome of learning or a product of learning, or is it something that we actually grasp prior to learning? What is the relationship
well,
between
for
learning?
Well, for us, the relationship is much closer than that.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, a little baby, you know, learns, I don't know when an identity forms, for a little baby. But for you, identity is both the input and the output of learning.
Okay.
Right? Because the fact that you have this strong identity as a researcher and a professor in the professions, right? In the field of the profession, that identity really is a strong component of how you pay attention to the world. So it is an input to learning in some sense. Right, because if there's a new book that comes in, you're gonna read it, because your identity is invested in that community. My identity is less. So, for instance, if one of your colleagues came, like academics tend to do to each other. So, have you read the work by so and so? And you haven't. For you, it could be an identity crisis. Oh my God, no, I haven't read it. Maybe I should have. Am I a good researcher in my community? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's an identity crisis.
But I'm interested in this, how identity comes as a prerequisite for learning, as a foregrounded in learning.
No, you can ask...
Which forms does it take if that happens?
Well, but that's unrealistic to expect that. Because before you learn what the practice of a community is about, it has little to do with your identity, except in terms of imagination. So imagination, which is in a third version of the theory, an important component of identity.
Okay.
Imagination, for instance, You know, you see a movie about whales and stuff like this, and you say, oh, I want to become a marine biologist.
Yeah.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an imagination. You have visited something in the landscape and you say, wow, that's great. I'd like to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it could motivate you.
Yeah.
To learn mathematics or learn biology or something like this. So in that sense, it is an input, but this is still socially constituted. You've seen Free Willy, and actually this is there's a group that has in Manchester University that has looked at people's interest in mathematics, and they're a study of a young woman who saw that movie and said, oh, I want to become a marine biologist. Then you have to sort of say, okay, what are the prerequisites to become a marine biologist?
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they know? It's a whole trajectory. But the fact that the vision of that movie gave you a window into a practice, even though you didn't belong, was an important contribution of that movie. I think schools should do that more, you know? Mm-hmm. Give students a window of different ways of being in the world so that that becomes a constitutive input of how they see themselves evolving over time.
Well, what you said about previous stuff, identity is something making you one person.
Mm-hmm.
What about when you go from one community to another and these communities don't really have the same kind of standards? Or
that's precisely why we have to understand the development of identity both over time,
mm-hmm.
as a trajectory through the landscape of different practices,
mm-hmm.
and across multiple practices, because indeed your identity can enter into conflictual mode,
yeah.
if you feel accountable to different practices and different competence, you know. And so, an ethnographer of schooling, her name is Gillian Evans, in the UK,
mm-hmm.
did a beautiful study of a classroom where they saw that some kids who were viewed as behaviorally problematic,
mm-hmm.
in that classroom were actually accountable to another part of their identity on the street, where certain kind of learning were viewed as betraying that identity. So it's not that they couldn't learn, it's just that learning was in conflict with another identity that was very important for them.
So if you look at identity and you go between communities that have sort of contradictory values,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that puts a lot of pressure on the individual.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we would say that a characteristic of the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
is that multiplicity of potential places of identification,
mm-hmm.
that makes it more complex. See, if you live all your life in a small Norwegian village in the 15th century, that village does a lot of identity work for you, because the village defines what it means to be a good person. So as long as you don't violate that, you're okay. But if you start traveling from community to community, then all of a sudden, nobody else can tell you what it means to be knowledgeable in that position. You see what I mean?
Yeah, so what about a professional who is making a decision about something?
Yeah.
And there are several stakeholders,
right.
coming from different communities.
Yeah.
Accountabilities, it's a government, policy, mm-hmm. Parents, relatives, other interest groups. Professional is going to make a decision.
That's right.
That's a hard pressure then on the
exactly. And I think we need to understand professionalism in that way today. Mm-hmm. Because professionalism is not simply having acquired a curriculum that's just seamless, you know?
Mm.
Professionalism is really to be a meaningful actor in a complex landscape of practice where accountability is multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make decisions about how to teach a certain topic to certain students, whether to give a test to a patient or not. You need to make all those decisions, but you have many different places that you could potentially follow, or all the way from, you know, your blog, right? Mm-hmm. So now you've studied this blog with your group on a learning professional. So should people in Australia follow that blog, mm-hmm. or should they read Karl Marx, or should they, study Michel Foucault? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we have a lot of complexity. And what, by the way, from the point of view of Committee of Practice, what that suggests is the importance of local communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because one way to deal with the complexity of the professional work in which you live is to have a local community where you help each other cope with that complexity. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one aspect of the work on Committee of Practice that we are starting to see is important,
mm-hmm.
is that dealing with complexity is itself something that could justify the time that you would involve in being able, in being engaged with a community of people who are somewhat at the same intersection as you, and so to negotiate that intersection with each other is one way to deal with complexity.
Thank you, Etienne.
Okay. Thank you.